Welcome to Security Village's Cybersecurity News of the Week, a summary of the latest cybersecurity news with commentary from Dr. Stan Stahl, who's the founder and president of Security Village. This podcast is for the week of November 6th, 2016, and it is sponsored by Citadel Information Group. Stan, so what's the biggest headline this week in the area of in the world of cybersecurity?
I think, Jim, it's kind of the same as the story everywhere else in America, which is, if you've not heard, we have an election coming up. We're actually recording this on Monday, the day before the election. And last night was full of stories about the threat to the election brought on by cyber, what the implications of all of that are. CNN ran a story, what's the biggest threat? And generally, the consensus is that it's people mucking with the registration system. You go to vote, you stood in line. If it's, you're like Los Angeles here, the lines are already for early voting, sometimes 3-4 hours long. You get up there and your name's not on the official rolls of the ballot. Why not? Well, because somebody hacked into the system and systematically removed names. That's the biggest fear we've got. How realistic is that? How possible is that? Depends very much on a state-by-state basis, but it's certainly something we've got to be cognizant of. U.S. Has boosted cyber defenses for the election, ready for that. Stories both in Fortune and NBC on that that particular subject. So it's all about the election and... are people going to be prevented from voting because of hacks into the registration system? I see that's the biggest story of the week, certainly.
Now, what about the Russian involvement, let's say, with Twitter?
Yeah, well, the expectation or the perception from most of the government agencies is that the hacks that we've seen have been the result of, you know, have been the Russians who have done that, that it's Russia who has probed our election systems, those kinds of things as well. And then last week, just as a piece of this, so there's a Twitter account owned by somebody who goes by the name of Guccifer 2.0. It's linked to Russia, not quite sure how all that plays out, but they tweeted a story last week encouraging hackers to monitor the U.S. elections. It's, again, it's another one of these stories of Russia attempting to, not to influence our election, at least enough to cause some mayhem, some, you know, like stuff is going on here. They want to make us look bad in the world.
Now, do you think overall the voters should be very, very concerned that their votes may not count because of potential hackers?
Well, certainly that's a realistic possibility. I mean, consider it. Let's suppose we've got a number of very, very critical states that are toss-ups right now. Let's say Ohio. Let's say some hacker group got into the registration system, voter registration system in a state, and deleted a number of names in whatever precincts that might be done in. And now people show up at the polls and they're told that they're not registered. That now the legal strategy around that is they're given a provisional ballot, they fill out the provisional ballot, and the provisional ballot, after a determination is made, is the person really legitimately registered, then that provisional ballot is counted. But that can, first of all, take weeks to determine. And in a state like Ohio or Florida or North Carolina, that week or 2 week or 3 week delay could mean we don't know who the president is for 2 or 3 weeks until that gets sorted out. And even with that, there's still the possibility we don't know how good the backup systems are, for example, in a particular state. So one could imagine, one could hypothesize, that a state's backup of their voter registration roll is so poor that after a hack deletes these names, they're not able to determine who is a legitimate registered voter and who isn't. So, yes, there is that possibility that people can vote and their votes just will not count. And we're already seeing from one candidate that the idea that if that candidate doesn't win, it's the result of an election being rigged. Well, certainly if the Russians hack in and destroy voter registration rolls, that encourages a perception that, in fact, the election is rigged by the Russians in this case.
Well, I think this is probably going to go on for several days, especially I would imagine in some of the states where the election is really, really, really close. If it's not close at all, then I don't imagine there's going to be a lot of news on hackers and people being mm-hmm. dumped from rolls.
Right. Very, very much. I mean, California and Texas are probably, okay that way. But it's, you know, Jim, what's fascinating about it, because the election's just, you know, it's an important point here, but it's just an illustration of how fast we are rushing into using technology, in this case, the technology that puts all these registrations online and so on. It helps us immensely managing all of this stuff, but it also puts it at risk. There's another story this week. This is in an article in a publication called Naked Security. The man named Tim Berners-Lee, he's probably not well known to many of our listeners, but he was one of the founders of the World Wide Web back 20 plus years ago. In this story in Naked Security, he warns of data sabotage as cities become smart. I mean, we are more and more putting our critical infrastructure online, traffic lights and Wi-Fi for everybody wherever you are, and you know all the things associated with that. Well, what happens when hackers hit the traffic light system or somebody opens up and accesses people's sensitive data through these smart cities that get hacked into? We're not prepared for that. This is something we haven't given enough emphasis on the needs for security here. And it's not atypical, unfortunately. I mean, as you and I know, I started doing security work 35 years ago. It was all federal government, defense, state, places like that. But we recognize very early on that if we don't begin to integrate security into our systems as we're building them, we'll A, get much poorer security than we need, and B, we'll spend a lot more money getting this poorer security as well. If you look at the other kind of dominant story of the week, it's all on the Internet of Things, some of it going directly back to the distributed denial of service attack on Dyn, but then some of it very much is specific in general to the Internet of Things. We're putting these in our houses and our cars, and everywhere we go, we've got more and more computers that we're not using like you and I are using our computers here. These are embedded devices. They are autonomous. They run themselves. They interact with the internet, through the internet, to other places. And they're often built with no security. I mean, when you think about cameras, IP cameras that we use to, you know, watch our front doors or watch our babies or wherever, and the user ID and passwords are built into those things. They're hard-coded. So the manufacturer can't change them even if they wanted to. And that information as to what those user ID and passwords are then knowable to the cyber criminals. I mean, there's a story this week, for example, that somebody constructed this was a proof of concept. This is a story in Ars Technica, a new botnet. It was discovered, set online, and in 5 days, it infected 3,500 devices. Well, you can do a lot of damage with 3,500 devices. And let that go for 100 days, for 3 months. And, you know, you've now got enough devices in a botnet to launch a distributed denial of service attack against, you know, any ordinary business out there, Jim. So this is the kind of thing we're facing.
Yeah, now with in something that I know a couple of other stories you've mentioned, and there are individuals at risk. Are there any other stories in that category that we should be really aware of?
Yeah, well, and again, it's the same thing. Like one of the cyber update stories we had this week, cyber update, that means there's stuff you've got, technology you've got, computers you have, there's an update available for it. You've got to take advantage of that update, install that update to take care of the problem. And this week, Naked Security again had a story on a home automation kit that needs to be updated because it left your Android phone open to spying on you. So this is a updated product from a company called Wemo. They're smart home devices, and they can be used to spy on Android phones.
Now, it seems that mobile phones, cell phones, are really more susceptible to hackers mm-hmm. than any other device.
Interesting, yes. I wouldn't say more susceptible, but one of the things that's happened is that the cyber criminals have found, particularly on Android phones, that you can get malware, malicious software installed on those. The challenge comes if you've got an iPhone or an iPad, an Apple device, and you don't jailbreak it, the only legitimate way to get applications for that is through the Apple Store. If you've got an Android device, Google and the legitimate sellers of Android devices, the phone companies and all, have their own stores where you can download programs, and they do the best job they can to keep malware out of those. But there's also a lot of other black marketplaces you can download. And in fact, there's a bogus Flash Player app aimed at Android mobile devices that when you download it, it installs malicious banking software that can steal your credit card information. Like, how bad is that, you know? And that's one of the warnings this week that we published for our readers on the weekly news. And it's the kind of thing that, you know, ordinary individuals, it's not just businesses, it's not just governments that are at risk. Individuals themselves are, as we know, very, very much at risk. One of the other stories of dealing with identity theft this week, over the last several years, tax fraud, identity theft associated with tax fraud has been rampant. Well, the IRS and Security Summit have partnered to really expand their identity theft protection for 2017. How well it'll work, stay tuned. You know, we'll get to know that as we move forward. Also on the defensive side, Google's Chrome, as you probably noticed, sometimes now if you type www.somethingorother, you'll get HTTP that thing, and other times you'll get HTTPS. The S means that the communication channel between your computer and that server is encrypted. Well, pretty soon, that is starting in January, Google's Chrome is going to begin shaming websites that don't use HTTPS. I'm proud that Secure the Village uses HTTPS. The Citadel website uses HTTPS. And most internet service providers will give you a free, what's called a security certificate, to host so you can put your own hosted website under HTTPS. If you don't, you should. And starting in January, Chrome is going to tell its users when they're connecting to a site that doesn't use HTTPS. And we see this as one of the big defensive moves towards at least securing that communications channel between the user and the website they're talking to.
Well, talking about large organizations, are there any information security management issues that we need to be aware of regarding large organizations and businesses?
Yeah, certainly, Jim. As always, the whole subject of security management and governance came up again this week. CFO had an article that directors are focusing more and more on cybersecurity. this from CFO says 3/4 of boards are more involved than last year, even though not enough of them are sharing information after an attack, the article goes on to say. This is one of these evolving stories as the Securities and Exchange Commission is beginning to require more and more of companies that they disclose information about cyber breaches, cyber losses, and all. And it's good to see directors getting more involved. Ultimately, they're the ones that have to provide the governance to the organization, so now the organization can take the appropriate steps and knows that management's got their back in taking those steps, that recognizing that ultimately information security is everyone's concern, ultimately from the board all the way to the receptionist. It's why we call our nonprofit Secure the Village. The idea, it takes the village to secure the village, and that's as true inside a business, the village of the business, as it is to all of society. So it's good this week to see the stories on directors. We also, if as you recall, October was Cybersecurity Awareness Month. It's now November. Ultimately, cybersecurity awareness needs to be something that we talk about 12 months a year, not just in October. And the National Law Review had a nice story on that this weekend, this last week. As they wrote, data security is an ongoing challenge that requires continued vigilance, not just from hacking, but also from employee error and other threats. And that means you really need a comprehensive training and awareness program. One of the things we at Citadel will do with our clients is we'll send them phishing attacks. We'll send them emails that say, click this link for your free Amazon gift card, or click this link to change your password, or whatever. And we provide teaching moments, learning moments, to staff who click those links and don't quite get it yet. So that was a very important story this week. Just a reminder that Cybersecurity Awareness Month might be over, but cybersecurity awareness continues. And it has to as well. I mean, ransomware attacks have more than doubled in Q3, a new Kaspersky report showed. And ultimately, ransomware attacks depend, blocking them depends on users just having the wherewithal to say no, having the understanding to say no when that a phishing email comes in.
Well, another important issue I've been reading about too, and that you've mentioned, is the insurance, cybersecurity insurance. It's something that a lot of businesses, I'm assuming, are still not paying any attention to. I saw an article. There was a spike last year in cyber security insurance policies, or at least the language, but it seems to be diminishing at the moment. Do you think there's any reason for that? Is it mainly education?
I think it's a combination of education and also just kind of the industry, the insurance industry, better understanding themselves how to quantify cyber risks, so that the purchaser of insurance kind of can get a sense of what the value of the insurance is. Coupled with, I think, also a third piece, that some of these policies, as we've seen over the years, they're not real clear as to what they offer, what they don't offer, what's excluded, what's not excluded. I agree. I think that there was the article in the Insurance Journal this week that, in fact, insurance, cyber insurance purchasing is slowing after 6 years of fast growth. But that was coupled with two articles in CFO magazine. One, boards, again, we go back to boards, pushing insurers to quantify cyber risks. Right? Just what is the likelihood that I'm going to be breached? What is the likelihood of my system being hit by ransomware? What's the likelihood of I'm being hit with business email compromise? I mean, we know, if you think about insurance from its origins with life insurance, give us 1 million people with an age distribution, we can tell you within 2 or 3 or 4 how many are going to die this year, next year, the year after that, and so on, right? I mean, because we got statistics that go back several hundred years on life expectancies, and we know the mathematics, and there's a whole branch of mathematics dealing with that. We don't have that same knowledge of the frequency of cyber breaches and the kinds of breaches and what they cost and all of those things. So that's certainly becoming one of the challenges here. At the same time, we are seeing, and this again is another one of the CFO magazine stories, that one survey found that 80% of companies have bought a standalone cybersecurity policy. If that's the case, then that could also account for part of the reason the market is slowing, that the market is already somewhat saturated.
Mm.
So stay tuned, but certainly we do need more clarity from insurance companies as to what, how to quantify the risks and what exactly you're getting. It's one of the reasons I'm particularly happy with Secure the Village, that we've got several insurance brokers as, you know, part of our leadership council, because they provide some of that leadership here in LA so that buyers of cyber insurance do know what it is they're getting.
Well, with the technology evolving constantly, I would also assume that businesses should review their policies on a regular basis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. We recommend to our clients that they have both their insurance reviewed annually and they have their attorney review their the laws and regulations that they're subject to, so that companies like ours can then help make sure that the security management programs we put in actually meet those security requirements that they've got. That's actually a good segue into the vulnerability and patch report of our show, because one of the things that all the laws deal with, every cybersecurity law that I know of, all the regulations, that a key part of security is having an aggressive vulnerability and patch update program. And that means keeping your computers updated as new versions of programs come out. Make sure that you download them and install them. This last week, Apple released version 12.5.3 of its iTunes, a program called AxeCrypt, which a lot of companies use for encrypting files. They had an update. Google Chrome updated its browser. And a program called LastPass, which a lot of companies use, a lot of individuals use as a password management tool. It updated its version to version 4.1.3. So I want to just encourage all of our listeners to, if you're running any of those programs, make sure you update them. Make sure your Windows update is turned on to automatically update Windows for you.
Now, I know you send this vulnerability report out to a listserv.
Yeah. Yeah, this goes out every week to our 20,000 people on our email list.
And how do people get on the list?
Go to our website, the Citadel website, citadel-information.com, and you can sign up for it there. So it's very, very easy to do. A second way, if you want to get it as it gets published, we publish every Sunday morning. We publish two blog pieces, the Cybersecurity News of the Week and the Weekend Vulnerability and Patch Report. Those are also available on Sunday from the Secure the Village website in the News and Views section of Secure the Village. And if you don't want to wait until Sunday to get the news all in one bundle, it's also available. You can follow me on Twitter. You've got actually a number of different ways to follow me on Twitter.
And LinkedIn, right?
And LinkedIn, yep. You can follow us on, Citadel has a Twitter account, Secure the Village has a Twitter account. We make it easy for our for our listeners, for our readers to get to us.
I do want to touch on something that I think is important, and that's the fact that your blog has gotten an award lately.
Yes, it did.
And could you tell us a little bit about it and what the award was for?
Sure. This is something, thank you, Jim, for bringing this up. We're actually very proud of it. We started following the cybersecurity news in an aggressive way back 6 years ago. And very quickly that evolved into the Cybersecurity News of the Week, the Weekend Vulnerability and Patch Report. So we've been doing this for going on 6 years now. Well, an organization called Credit Donkey, which is all about people's credit. How do you manage your credit? How do you, if you go to their website, creditdonkey.com, there you'll find out about home security systems and burglary statistics, reviews of products. They're around protecting the individual users that way, stopping identity theft and so on. So we're listed first in their list of best computer security blogs, top experts for 2016.
Congratulations.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah. So if you go to creditdonkey.com, just let me finish. If you go to creditdonkey.com and look under computer-security-blogs.html, you'll see Citadel and our blog there.
All right. Are there any other major issues that you want to touch on before we leave today?
Well, thanks, Jim. I think we've talked about it. The most important thing, I think, for just, again, today's Monday. Tomorrow is Election Day. It's going to be crazy. I think all of America, regardless of which side one is on, is looking forward to this getting past tense. We're looking at the election in the rearview mirror. There could be all kinds of craziness. There could be denial of service attacks locally that get in the way of people's ability to vote. We've already talked about hacking into the web databases and all. So if any of that craziness happens tomorrow, just take a deep breath. Remember, the sky is not falling. We'll get through this. It may take us a little bit. But, as Churchill, one of my favorite leaders, said, as for me, I'm an optimist. Doesn't seem to be much use to be anything else. So stay optimistic. We'll get through
this.
That's great. And we'll be back with you next Monday to talk about, in the past tense, so what did happen on Election Day?
All right. Well, thank you, Stan, for this week's Cybersecurity News Update. And we want to thank the sponsor of this podcast, Citadel Information Group, that delivers information peace of mind to business and the not-for-profit community. For a free confidential consultation, please call 323-428-0441. Again, that's 323-428-0441. Or visit their website at citadel-information.com. And you can also sign up for the weekly report on critical security updates and the latest cybersecurity news delivered to your inbox. And Secure the Village is a nonprofit with the goal of educating businesses and the public on cybercrime, identity theft, cyber espionage, and attacks on our privacy. And for more information on Secure the Village, please go to their website, securethevillage.org. And all podcasts are available on securethevillages.org. So join us again next week for the latest news on cybersecurity. And I am Jim Joyer.